session number 24692, Reel 4.
Mr. Green, Reel 4. After finishing your training in Wales, where did you go to after that?
Went to Somerset, and but that was only just like the holding place for us there. The equipment wasn't there. We didn't have the equipment. It didn't come with us, and because we knew that the next place was going to be across the channel, and so we were there for quite some time. It was a little place called Sparkford near Yeovil, and the Fleet Air Arm Base wasn't far away. So anyway, it's a good long story short. Nothing really happened there. As I said, we're just on these sites, but we had nothing, no equipment or nothing. They're just sort of holding us there. And then we had to go down to, all got on the wagons and down to Tilbury Docks, and with all our gear, and we got onto the...
How did you feel about going abroad? Of course, D-Day had gone in then, it was over, wasn't it?
It's like everything else. Anything that's strange, you feel a little bit apprehensive about it. I wouldn't say... You just wondered what you were going into, that was all. It was a bummer all deal, though, was the... Tilbury put us on a merchant ship. So all our gear was on the ship. When we got there, all we had to do was get on. And... Well, I see it was rough. Well, it was rough when they put the mulberry down, wasn't it? Because they didn't get it right. Some of the Cassians had broken loose in the ships. What they had to sink like to make a breakwater. Anyway, we got on board this merchant ship and went across.
Do you recall what date or time this would be?
Yeah, I can't. It was after D-Day. Yeah, it was quite way after D-Day.
What battery were you with at this time?
413. And So anyway, we got near the Mulberry Harbour, but we couldn't get near the Mulberry Harbour. So these landing craft came out to us. Now you can imagine, we're all land lovers, and the sea was doing that. You look down and the sea was way down, the next thing it's up with. And the sailor's there to give us a hand, like. And I said, when the landing craft comes up, just step onto it. Well, that's why we were just waiting the tent to get on to step onto it. I seen some lads hesitate, and then they went and fell in a bloody big heap at the bottom of the dunes because it soon drops down. I was pretty lucky myself. I just stepped on it and I went down with it. That was it. But some of them lost the gears, you know. Well, it was a bit of a laugh at the time and a bit serious, you know. But anyway, eventually the landing craft took us to the Mulberry Harbour, and we landed on the Mulberry Harbour, marched out, and there was what do you call that place?
Is it Arromanches?
Arromanches. Arromanches, and went in. They had this big camp there, tents, and we were put in then. It was wet and damp, and the weather was atrocious. So we were there a few days.
It must have been quite a scene, though, those beach scenes as you landed.
Well, it was. I mean, we'd never seen anything like it. You can imagine, you know, the only time you see an out like that when it shows you on the pictures. When in a movie told news on the pictures, where, you know, if anything happened, that's the only time you got information where you could see pictures, because there was no television.
What scenes were you seeing as you...
Pardon?
What scenes were you seeing when you went onto the beach?
When I went on...
You know, when you landed.
Scenes?
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't nothing a lot to see, really, because it was dark. When we landed there, it was dark, and... walking on duck boards, and if you've missed a duck board, you're up to your ankles in mud. You know, that was a picture. It was just mud, tents and duck boards. If you get a picture, a big camp with tents and blooming duck boards running. Anyway, that was it, and we stayed. How long we stayed there? It wasn't a very long time, and then we were on our got the all equipment together, and we were on our wagons, and away we went. And so we went through France, Cannes. We seen Cannes. We seen Cannes, the church steeple with a shell through it, you know, and.
A lot of signs of fighting.
There were signs of fighting as we hit it. And then when we got further on, we come across all the gliders that had took the men over in the fields. And we went and we finished up a place called, I don't know whether you've heard of it, Canock. I don't know if it's pronounced Canock. Yeah, got it? But it was a little place before that. And they put us there first. I just forget the name of it. And it's only a small place. There's hardly anything there, one or two shops. And we had to put a tent up on the beach. Well, trying to keep pegs in sand, they wouldn't stick in. Stopping for a ride, so when the bend, the wind come up, it was down. Everything was mined round us. The roads were mined, the houses were mined. So we see this house wasn't far away from the beach. So, you know what you are. Oh, let's just have a look and see if we can see out in this house. Well, we were just making our way down when our officer came. A fellow called Axtell. And Captain Axtell. And he stopped us. He stayed there. He said, turn round and walk back this way. So we told him what we were up against. He said, right. He said, I'll go and get the engineers to come here and clear it. Which he did. I mean, a big booby chap behind the letterbox and the doors, you know, and the windows, and that could have been blown to bloody bits. All the roads were mined. All the fields, there was a bit of a field. That was mined. So it was only more or less short road and went down a bit further, but then it turned left in front of this house. But they didn't clear the front of the house, they just cleared all the grounds. But they missed two mines in the grounds and we found them. They were wooden mines, and so we got some donate wire, put it again on the fuse, and got a good way away and pulled it off. And we found two, and we blew them up. And so it wasn't bad then. We ended there and settled down in the house, and the equipment wasn't that far away, so we didn't have far to go to it. And
had you been warned about mines and booby traps?
Well, we went to Cornwall.
The
trained us about mines. Yes, that was most of the things. The main thing, really, we went to Cornwall for was the mines. And at night time, if you're walking at night time and you don't know where you are, doing this catwalk thing, you know, feeling with your feet and feeling with your hands. Yes. And there was the first time we'd had an AK-AK gun next to us. And we just took quite some action there because the planes usually fly along the coast and, you know, fire at us and one thing and another. And so these guns used to belch out. Anyway, it's quiet, the planes. And I on the radar, I picked up this blip. So locked onto it, exposed. I'm only told afterwards, because I couldn't see what was going on. Said when the beam went up, the plane was right in, and it wasn't much above the water. And well, straight away when the beam went on, he decided to get out of it, hit the waves, and went down. So all the people that lived down there, oh, the next day they were coming up like, yeah, that was good, like, you know. So it was just, the lads were chuffed to hell about it, because one of them, bit of an artist, he painted the plane on the equipment. So anyway.
So that was brought down without gunfire? Did you
without gunfire, yeah. It was too low for the gunfire anyway. Because they couldn't put gunfire out there, didn't know what the hell was out at sea. Our ships were going along the coast. And then we moved into Canock, which is just a little bit further on. And we got a took over a hotel there, and it was not far. We used to do what they call this on the front, like just guard on the front. And I wasn't on guard this night, but this lad come in, he'd been on guard. He says to the sergeant, he said there was a noise there on the, coming up from the sea. He said I don't know what it was. He couldn't say. It was dark. Couldn't see. So, well, there was sea wall and all come up. So anyway, we couldn't have. We had no lights to see what it was. Anyway, when daylight come, it was one of these torpedo submarines. They must have just headed it for the beach and then let it go. And it buried his nose in the sand, which was probably a bloody good job for everybody concerned. Anyway, the naval people come down and they put it right and took it away. That was the same day as we found out what it was. As soon as we found out what it was, like, right, we had to get it reported straight away. Because loads of people around there, I mean, it's a popular place, seemingly. And during the day, there was loads of people.
This is in Holland, I think, isn't it, Knocker?
Pan?
Is it Holland or Belgium?
Belgium. Belgium.
What were the people like in Belgium?
All right. They're all right. There was the experience we had in Belgium. There was these people who would had been, what they call it, with the Nazis, you know, friendly with the Nazis. So of course, when they got out, chased the Nazis out, they got these people, taffed all the bloody belongings into the street and set fire to them, cut the bloody air off. And
you saw this happening, did you?
I didn't see it happening, but I've seen all the stuff set on fire in the street. I've seen all the stuff, because I was absolutely... You know, there was quite a few of us, you know, wanted to do something about it, like, you know. And this chap come, he said, don't do anything. He says, these people fraternised with the Germans, he said, they just deserve all again. So that's what they done. They took all the furniture out the house, burnt it, and they cut the hair.
Did you ever meet any of the resistance people?
No, I can't say I did. We were there quite a while at Knock, till then we moved on to into Germany.
Was it particularly active period? I know you've mentioned one or two things, but were you very busy whilst you were there?
Well, at Knock, not really. I can't remember the equipment. I don't think they took the equipment off us there. Because they were talking about this moonlighting. You know what I'm on about.
It's artificial moonlight or something.
Yeah.
How did that work? What was the idea behind it?
Well, it was to light up the German lines, you know. Sitting target for them and all, aren't you? Slamming the light. But the idea was that they fixed their light on a tank and that went forward. And then at the right time, he just exposed and lit up the whole area. But we did talk about us going on it, but it never happened. It never happened. And then we moved on to, I can't say much more about Round Canock. I think it was more or less relaxing and enjoying ourselves, And then we went on to Leuven, which is in Belgium. That's a nice place. And it was at Leuven when all the Americans start coming back. When they pushed them at the...
Oh, yeah, this Christmas offensive. The Ardennes.
And then...
Did you see these Americans arriving in your...
I've seen them. Yes, a lot of us seen a lot of them coming back, yeah.
What state were they in?
Well, it didn't look too bad, a bit ruffled up, like, you know, but it didn't look too bad. I think the Germans must have caught them up there, like, I don't know, really speaking, you know, what happened for them to come back. And then Ron Comrie sent his tanks across to straight the line out. I never heard much about that since the war. I'm sure it was Montgomery sent his tanks across straight the line out. And because the British sector was towards the coastline. The Americans were on the... So anyway, they straightened the line out and things started to get back to normal then. And
so you didn't get involved in anything?
No. We had... As far as we stood to one side, we were just like spectators, more or less. But it must say it was really serious at the time. And I mean, you don't realise afterwards till you start reading about it how bloody serious it was, because they could have cut a chunk of the Americans off and the British off. they were at Louvain quite a while. And,
were you there when that German air raid took place? I think it was New Year's Day. The whole lot seemed, you know, what aircraft they had made a surprise raid. There was a lot of activity then. It was the one day.
I was at Belgium, and it was in Belgium, so I can't remember all the places I was at. It was a long road. And a lot of planes come over that day, and these planes just come down the street, just firing, just going down the street, firing them as they went by. And that was about the only skirmish I could think that happened there.
And this was daylight situation?
No, it was night time. Because we were quite away from our room. They had a hell of a run, you know. So... When they're firing them, like, we're running along this road and they're firing the bloody guns, like, you know. So we started jigging about. But anyway, we come through that all right. In fact, by the time we got and got that beam up, the planes had gone, just about gone. And anyway, it was just, as I say, we got over that. I don't think really, you know, when you're that age, you don't think much about danger. I'm just trying to cast my mind back. As I said, you're going into different things and you always feel a little bit, even so now, if you're going to, a bit apprehensive, if you're going to Flaming Doctors and you don't know what you know, so you're feeling a bit. So I think, we had. Yes, and then at Louvain, and then from there, of course, we went into Germany.
So the war was coming to an end at this point in time.
Yes. Well, the war had ended, because when we were at Knocke, my daughter's got the photographs. I'm sure it did, that... I remember the express, and I held it up like that, and the lad took a photograph. And I don't know, it was a said armistice right across, or whatever it was. So then it must have been the time, it must have been quite after that, like, you know, because we were at Louvain when they started to come down. Yeah, where the hell were we then? Anyway, as you say, then started to pack up then.
How did you celebrate that news when it came through?
Oh, over the moonlight. We celebrated the best way we could. We just happened to them. Just really enjoyed it. And we knew then that it wouldn't be long before something was starting to do about getting us home, like, you know. That was, 45, wasn't it? 45. It was 40.
In May 45.
Yeah, it was 46 before I got back home. Because when we were being young, like, you know, my number, the older ones sort of went first.
Well, you moved into Germany. What are your memories of that?
It's a fine place. I can't remember the... Oh, we're at a little place called Osterode in the Harz Mountains. Beautiful little place. And they put us... it was absolutely pathetic. we had a cottage here we took over. Across the road was this, it used to be a factory that made parachutes. And on the ground floor, there was nothing. I don't know where it used to be. But the floor above the above that was the looms or so, making the parachutes. And, well, some of them were still there, and the offices. It wasn't a very big place. And then away over to the, in the, when you went through the main gate, just onto the left, there was this gymnasium, and they had the Hungarians, few Russians, you name, they had them in there, and we had to walk round the perimeter wall. Well, the fence had more holes in it than a blooming sieve, you know.
You were trying to keep them in, were you?
Yeah. It was impossible. It was impossible.
What state were they in when you got there?
Oh, they were in a bad state. They were in a bad state. Some of them were in a bad state. And when I say where the looms were underneath, they just shot straw in there for them to lay on. And then eventually there was Germans among them. Some of them got out. We couldn't stop them. Couldn't really stop them. One come up to me one day, says, "I've got out." He had this woman with him. So he speaks pretty good English. I says, "Well, the best thing to do," I says, because I knew I'd took the movement. I says, "You'll be going to Essen." I said, and then from there, little documentation and all this lot together, and then let him go. Well, what could I do?
Did any of them attempt to get out to get their revenge on the German population?
No, I don't think so. Never heard anything like that. The German people were smashing. I got on well with the German people. We used to go to night out in Hamburg, and the rubble was piled higher than these houses. But some of the, you could see what a lovely place it had been, you know. And the best part of it was a lot of it was still there. Because the river, is it there? The runs through Hamburg. And the Nazi, just not far away, took over this big place. And it was a dance hall. Loads of lads and masses used to go up there. And it had was a circular floor with the band in the middle, which is the first time I'd seen that. And
Dad, you moved to Hamburg after following the place you were in.
From Leuven, yeah. You know, you stopped at little places here and there.
But you were in Hamburg before you went to this refugee place then?
Osterode.
Osterode.
I'm mixed up with all this now. It's so far away. And
but you said you found the Germans all right. They weren't in any way.
No, they didn't. You would think like we're going in the country and it says they'd start doing us, giving us some hell, like, but they didn't. I spoke to some of the girls, like, you know.
There was a period though when you couldn't speak to them. You were ordered not.
Oh yeah, you didn't have to fraternise. Yeah, you didn't have to fraternise. In the centre of Hamburg. It used to be full of these bloody lads and lasses, Germans and English soldiers. They used to call it fraternising back. Yeah, it's. Of course, there was these places here, there, round Hamburg, where you could go and get protection for sex and this and that. There's no fraternising, but they had these things that you could get, ointment and all the lot that went with it. You know what I'm on about. And the only thing I found about bloody Germany, it's really cold in winter. Really cold. But
Did any of them speak about Hitler and the Nazis?
Pardon?
Did any of the Germans speak about Hitler and the Nazis?
No. The odd one or two just said, we didn't want it. We didn't want it. And
When the news broke about the Belsen and the camps.
Oh, aye.
What were your feelings then towards the Germans?
Well, you couldn't stand, you know, do such a thing as that. Pushing dead bodies into this bloody huge grave. Dear God.
And did you, was the film shown to the Germans in your locality? Did you have to make sure that they saw the film?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know nothing about that. I don't know nothing about that. We were in another place. As I say, we had different places. We had this big camp. And it was a Polish camp. There are already Poles in it. And we used to have to raid the houses. We used to have to raid the places what they lived in. Stunk a bloody brewery. It stunk like a brewery. They were making snaps and, you know, these bloody big drums, fermentation going on. And we used to have to drag them outside and shut the bloody things over. And they're all, 99% of the time, they're bloody drunk. And so I can't remember all the little places we were at. And then we was at the German prisoner of war camp. Now we had our lights on then. And we used to put the lights around the perimeter hedge so it was lit right round, you know what I'm on about. And the Scotch regiments were in charge of that. And we used to have to walk through the middle of the bloody stockade, you know. And you used to click, the Scotch, you know, and you just have to stop and they'd have a bloody good look at you before they let you through. Yeah. So that was one of the few times I was really bloody scared because some of them Scots lads were bloody trigger happy. I always remember we were in the where we were living and we looked out the window and these Scots lads had this squad of Germans. And he was only a little lad and all. About two Scots lads in charge of him. And I don't know what happened, what was said. But the next thing I knew, the bloody Scots lad come round with his rifle off his shoulder and whacked this bloody German right across the back of the head with the butt. Yeah, no messing about. So what happened to that, I don't know about that.